The text we will be considering this morning comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 27 and verse 7. Proverbs 27, verse 7. The full soul loatheth or loathes a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. The Lord knows that we love a measure of diversity. And within His holy word, within the Bible, there is a great diversity of literature. It's our usual pattern to preach through books of the Bible. We've been in the book of Exodus in the mornings, and we have been considering various laws that concern the worship of God in the Old Testament. But it is helpful from time to time to have little breaks, and we have been chipping away, as you know, over the years at the book of Proverbs. Very easy simply to open it up, to reach in and take a self-contained little proverb, not simply for a pause and a refreshing, but also for a different angle on the same fundamental truth of God. Well, today we're taking just a pause from our regular exposition to take another proverb, actually two proverbs, one this morning and one this afternoon. And this first proverb we'll be looking at has to do with our appetites, our physical appetite. God has something to say even about this. Although the entire testimony of the Scripture concerns the great way of salvation for us to be brought back to God by the crucifixion, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we may be forgiven, restored to fellowship, and given the promise of everlasting life, still, God descends all the way down to the mundane, the common, everyday things of life, the things that we experience, a part of the ebb and flow of what it means to be a human being, including appetite. Yes, God has something even to say about our appetites. Well, the way in which it comes to us is in this form, as we have read: the full soul loathes or despises an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Well, let's dive in and consider this proverb under 3 points. The type of this proverb. Secondly, the surprise of this proverb. And third, the power of this proverb. The type, the surprise, and the power of this proverb. The full soul loathes an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Generically speaking, a proverb is a very short, self-contained statement, not usually dependent on anything before or after it. In fact, much of the book of Proverbs, it seems as though they are so many different marbles of different colors. They're short. They're compact. But they contain a world of truth. But this is a particular kind of proverb, because amid all the different kinds, there are within the generic set of Proverbs, there are these different kinds. This one is a kind of paradox. What's a paradox, boys and girls? Well, it's something that just doesn't make sense. Two things which, when you hold them together, they seem to contradict, to conflict. They don't seem to agree like two puzzle pieces that weren't meant to connect. We have here a paradox. It's a kind of anti-law law. Pastor, what's all this mean? Well, it means this. The Proverbs are giving us general laws and rules about how God's world works. But there are some laws that don't make any sense. However, they do make sense when we look at them from the right angle, from the perspective of the fear of God. If we're truly humble by the grace of God, then we can begin to see what this wisdom actually is. This particular proverb is similar in its type. It's a paradox proverb to Proverbs 11:24, which reads, "There is that scatters and yet increases. And there is that which withholds more than is fitting, but it tends to poverty." Doesn't make sense, does it? That the more you hoard, the more you purchase, the more you acquire, the more you cram into your cabinets and drawers, that it actually tends to poverty. Whereas the opposite, getting rid of things, actually, surprisingly, tends to bring increase. That doesn't make sense. And yet it's true. It's a kind of anti-law law. Like, in order to go forward, you must go back. In order to go up, you must go down. And I think that as we consider this kind of proverb, the full soul loathes a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Do we not observe, dear friends, that even in disorder there is order? In God's world, because that's the only world that is, friends, and that's the lens through which we need to read these Proverbs and through which we need to interpret this world. It is not sound and fury signifying nothing. In God's world, even in nonsense, there is sense. Even in that which seems to have no purpose, there is design. Because God's still God. He reigns. He rules. Even the chaos that the godly man Job experienced was reduced to order and sense at the end. And he puts his hand upon his mouth. And he says, "I spoke too soon." And you know, isn't that one of the great reasons why we come into the house of God? Is because outside it seemed as though everything is spinning out of control. And when I go home, things seem to be spinning out of control. But then we come into the house of God like Asaph did of old, when his foot was ready to slip. And then it all became clear. that's really what happens to us when we're first converted, isn't it? Is the Spirit of God comes into our foolish hearts and plants wisdom so that we can see reality as it is. Amid all the chaos and all the confusion, including the chaos and the confusion of our own lives. And it's when we come to terms with the truth that in God's world, even in disorder, there is order, that we can make sense of the cross. Except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. What? Master, you're telling me that you've got to go and die. That doesn't make any sense. You've got to understand that in the midst of chaos and confusion, God has a purpose. He's got a saving purpose in Jesus Christ. And as many as have ears to hear will hear the sense. Do you hear it? The full soul loathes and honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Second, let's look at the surprise of this proverb. The surprise here is that appetite is not absolute. It's relative. Yes, appetite works by a certain law, but what this proverb is saying is that it's not always what you think it is. It's relative. And yet, it's not absolutely relative. It is predictable. There is a law, but there is a law beneath the law. Well, here's the law, that our appetite is naturally drawn to things that taste good. That's not rocket science, is it, friends? I've never encountered too many people. Well, I've encountered a few. Some strange souls that like to eat things that no one else would eat. But the general rule is that you're drawn to things that you find tasty and delicious. That's what we're going to do right after this service. When we go downstairs, we will be drawn to those things that we find satisfying. And many, if not all of us, including myself, will probably have some sweet at the end. And it's also true that we are put off by things that don't taste so good. Parents, how many times when you had a little one there in the high chair and you've got the jar of pureed peas and you dip the spoon in and put it into the mouth, it comes right back out. But it's not so very hard when you dip that spoon into some Nutella and put it into the mouth. Oh, this is delicious. Well, that's the way it is. And that's the way God has made us. He's made our tongues, friends. He's made our palates to be able to appreciate so many different kinds of tastes. But certain things we just cannot eat. They were not meant to be eaten. But here's the anti-law. It's still a law, but it's not the kind of law that we would expect. But it's one that is true in God's orderly world, that our appetite, when not suitably satisfied, can swing to opposite extremes. The full soul loathes, despises the honeycomb, the cheesecake, the Boston cream pie. That's what happens when someone is full to capacity or above capacity. I can't even think of that. If that appetite is overindulged, it can nauseate even what is most delicious. But the opposite is just as true as well. If someone is not suitably satisfied, he is deprived of good things, that he can even come to desire that which is, we would say, unpalatable. You can't stomach it. You can't even think of eating it. Remember the parable of the prodigal son. Back at home, do you think he ate pig's food? He ate like a king. And yet he didn't appreciate it. And so he said to his father, "Father, give me my inheritance. I'm going away from home." And he goes away from home and he spends all his money on riotous living, on overindulgence, satisfying the appetites to excess. And then comes the famine, and he ends up feeding pigs, and one day he's throwing these husks to the pigs, and he's looking at those husks, and he's saying, "You know what, I think I could eat them." That's what happens in God's world. Because even in the midst of senselessness, there is sense. But third and last, let us look at the power of this proverb. Like a stick of dynamite, these proverbs are they're so very small and compact and self-contained, but they are explosive. And ultimately, not for destruction, but for our good, if we will only have ears to hear. If we will only humble ourselves of our fundamental and radical folly. And it may hurt, it may sting, but it will do us good. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. The outward form of this paradox is a simple observation. Understand here that there are other proverbs that aren't making observations. They're telling you what you should do. But many of them aren't doing that, at least not on the very surface. It's not telling you, stop binging. But it's simply making this observation that draws you in to think about it. And then it gets inside of you. And it won't let you go. You know, sometimes the Lord needs to bait us, because we won't get it the natural way. But within this simple observation, it carries with inside itself powerful lessons for those who are wise unto salvation. Those who find in themselves planted the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. In fact, these are both powerful lessons and sweet truths for those who yearn for greater levels of wisdom. And I would suggest there are three main lessons. Be mindful, be moderate, and be merciful. Be mindful, be moderate, and be merciful. The fool only sees what's on the surface. And that's why he stuffs his face. And that's why after the third and fourth and fifth glasses of wine, he wants a sixth and a seventh and an eighth. Because he's just looking on the surface. My body is telling me that I like wine, so I'm going to give it wine. but it doesn't see the deeper law. He needs to see what is below the surface. You know, it's very easy, boys and girls, isn't it, to go to some beaches and to think, you know what, this is a lovely beach, I can swim in it. But what you may not know is that there are these currents just below the surface that can take you away out to the ocean. Look deeper and be mindful. Be mindful that surfeit sickens. Now, I'm going to guess that probably several here will not know that word. That word is one I'd like to introduce into your vocabulary, and it's simply the word that means being fed or indulged to or beyond capacity. It doesn't satisfy, it sickens. And sickness is a bad sign. Just like your car gives you little warning lights. You need to change your oil, or there's something wrong with the alignment, or whatever it is. The feelings of sickness at overeating are warning signs for your body. They're saying that this wasn't natural. Be mindful that surfeit or overindulgence sickens. Be mindful that the small, humble gifts of life are no less gifts than the bigger, than the fancier, than the tastier. Be appreciative of the smaller, the humbler, even the bitter things of life. What did the Hebrew people do for their meals at the Passover? They ate not fulsome loaves of bread. They had unleavened bread that had not risen. And how did they eat that leavened bread? They ate it with bitter herbs to remind them that after they had been brought into the land of promise, where there were all these orchards that they had never planted, wells that they had never digged, houses in which they had never built them. Remember the day when you were in Egypt. It's so easy to forget when our refrigerators are crammed full of all kinds of delicious things. All we have to do is look at the news, don't we? We don't have to go so very far back and see how things are in Venezuela. It occurred to me yesterday, for some reason I was thinking of the particular year in which we are living, and we are 10 years away from the 100th anniversary of the great crash of the market, which began the Great Depression, that seized this nation and brought it to its knees. The full soul loathes a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. We need to train ourselves to appreciate the poor man's food. And not just the food, friends. Let that be a symbol for all the things of life, all the creature comforts that we enjoy. Let us learn to prize the simpler things. And is there not some room for remembering the way it has been? Be mindful. Be mindful that we were not designed simply for our own pleasure and gratification. We were not designed simply for our own pleasure and gratification. Now, God did design us, and he designed all kinds of things outside of us to please us. And he wants us, boys and girls, to celebrate and to thank God for the many good things that he gives us. But the signals coming from our stomachs, if and when we overindulge, are telling us we were not designed just that we should be happy. We were designed also for others. Even more than that, we were designed for God. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Be mindful. Be mindful that nothing in this life can fully satisfy. That all food here rots. Be mindful that there may and shall be great reversals. Hannah saying, "They that were full have hired themselves out for bread, and they that were hungry ceased." Or Mary, Luke 1:53, "He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty." Know and be conscious that there may be a reversal right around the corner. That you may be in that category, being tempted in the direction of over-appreciation, but you very soon could be in that state where you are considering eating even the bitter things. And just as surfeit sickens, so short-sightedness shortchanges. Proverbs 20:17, "Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel." And so here, don't be shortchanged. And you see, friend, God is your best friend, if only you'd let him be. He's saying to you, why will you shortchange yourself? Why will you seek that which is not bread? Why will you do this? And if we provoke God by a failure to be responsible with the good things that God has given us, we will provoke him to take it all away. As the women in Samaria who probably never dreamed that they would be entering into their cannibalistic bargain. Or the rich man, whom we read of in Luke 16, who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Every day the finest spread. Every day the bounty. And he walked right past every day that certain beggar named Lazarus, laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. But then there was the great change. And oh, how the rich man longed. Not for another glass of fine wine. Not for another sweet delicacy. But for a drop of cold water. And he was not given it. And Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." Friends, this is God's word. We may not like that, It may be greatly offensive to us, but that's his word. That's what Jesus said. And he knows better than we. Do not be short-sighted, because it will shortchange you painfully. Be moderate. Be mindful and be moderate. Let us manage our bounty. Let us learn to save. Learn to spare. Let us put gluttony to death and learn to consume what we need. Proverbs 25:16, hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee. Notice it doesn't say don't eat it. Don't eat sweet things. Don't enjoy anything. No. Have another bowl of sand. That's not what it says. But it says, eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. Yes, the Bible can be dirty. But then again, so are our lives. Jonathan Edwards, perhaps you know, the great Puritan preacher in Connecticut, in the First Great Awakening, made certain personal resolutions, very detailed. And one of them was resolved to maintain the strictest temperance in eating and drinking. Be moderate. Be moderate. Practice contentment. Practice, as Paul, both how to be abased and to abound. To be instructed as he was, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And what power and strength this will give us if we, by the exercise of faith in obedience to the Lord, will keep under our bodies Ambrose writes, it was when fed on their homely food and drinking water that Daniel repressed the rage of the lions, and the Hebrew children saw the fiery furnace playing round their limbs with harmless flames. Practice fasting from time to time. Our Lord Jesus Christ assumed that it would be a part of the periodic habits of his people when he said, when you fast, anoint your head with oil so that no one else knows that you are fasting. But he didn't abolish it. He doesn't want us to be hypocrites, wearing it upon our sleeves, making sure everyone knows just how righteous we are. But also beware of the extremes in the other direction. And this is where the flesh and the devil can come in so very quickly. And especially when we are feeling condemned about any of these things. And in our own flesh we'll decide, well, I'm turning over a new leaf. And I'm going to tighten all the screws. And I'm only going to drink water and eat plain bread. Well, that's not even God's will for you. And it will backfire. But let your moderation be known to all men. The last lesson of this powerful proverb, I would suggest, is be merciful. Be mindful, be moderate, and be merciful. Let us remember, as it were, the poor saints in Jerusalem. Those brothers and sisters who are suffering in other lands, let us identify with them. And as we have opportunity with those who may be hungry nearer home, now In our land, I don't think that this is near as pronounced as in other places of the world, but let us not become desensitized to real needs when they may in fact be on our right hand and on our left. Maybe there are not people as physically hungry, but maybe socially hungry. In any case, let us have the words of the Lord ring in our ears. Then said he unto him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense or a repayment be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, and the maimed, and the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot repay thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. I've mentioned it before, but the example of my father has left its imprint upon me. I remember as a boy, he'd bring in these interesting people. And my father was a PhD engineer. He made good money. We lived in a nice house. But he would bring these folks home that I just found distasteful. But I look back on it now, after the grace of God in my heart, and I see the value and the beauty of that kind of compassion and humility to reach out to those who are human beings. Full soul loathes a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Some closing words briefly to the satisfied. If you are full, if you are satisfied, eat on. You have your reward. If that's all that you want, if that's all that you seek, you have your reward. But, oh, friend, what a miserable day. Well, it will all be taken from you. Or perhaps you are a Christian fool who is satisfied with everything but the gospel. Jesus had a word for such. He said, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you, I will vomit you out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And he was speaking to a church, friends. Is that you? Are you full to capacity and have no need of the bread of life? But a brief word to you who are sickened by your own folly. And when the Holy Spirit comes to work within a sinner, he does this in each and every case as he exposes, among other things, the foolishness, the self-destructiveness of his ways. He introduces a sickening sense over sin. Well, he does this that there might be repentance, that there may be a purging of sin, of confession of sin, of forsaking of sin, ridding oneself of those things that he cannot tolerate anymore, but he must have it out from him. Thomas Watson refers to Origen, who called confession the vomit of the soul, whereby the conscience is eased of that burden which did lie upon it. But be sure that in your sickening sense of your own sin, that you have a repentance unto life that looks to Christ on the cross, who ate the bitter herbs for fools like ourselves, who drank the dregs of wrath for those who are absorbed with the gifts of God and not the God of the gifts. Because, dear friends, he died for such, that they might live. Amen. Let us close in prayer. Please stand. Blessed God, we are so thankful for the privilege that we have to hear thy word. We admit and we confess that oftentimes we are stung because thy word touches a nerve. Lord, we are fools, but thou art a gracious God who is willing to forgive and to grant the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ. Look now, O gracious one, upon us, we humbly pray, through the Redeemer. Amen. We'll close by singing from Psalm 23. Psalm 23. All stanzas to the tune Aaron, tune number 60. Psalm 23. All stanzas to the tune Aaron, tune number 60. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me, the quiet waters by. All my life.
shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore, my dwelling place shall be.
Please rise to receive the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may be seated for the announcements. We'll be having a lunch downstairs at which all are very warmly invited.